This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, top stories of the day. Obviously, I think it's the Broncos' historic rally. Found a way to get it done. 33 points in the fourth quarter. We'll get into some more details on that later on in the program. Kevin Lytle will join me, too, because I believe Tyson Summers, the interim coach for the Rams, just spoke in his press conference, and I think John Weber spoke as well. So would love to get Kevin's thoughts. I have a lot of questions rolling around in my brain, so we'll be sure to get to those. As the Rams go forward here, some interesting names on the list. Napier's been fired, too. I mean, coaches are getting fired like crazy. It's a tough job, man. There's a lot of pressure, and there's always been a lot of pressure, but it feels like even more so now. Florida State said they're going to make a decision on Mike Norvell, after the season. So there was speculation that Florida State might move on from him now, but. You know, they just had their fourth straight loss. Tis the season. Another name on this list. There's just a lot of names, man. And then on the Wisconsin side, they're set to increase its financial commitment to the football program. According to ESPN, amid a disappointing season, they will push ahead with coach Luke Fickell. According to athletic director Chris McIntosh, wrote Monday in a letter to Badgers fans. He said, we've fallen well short of our standards under Fickell, the third year coach, 15-18 at the school. They've had some rough ones. Consecutive home shutout losses to Iowa and Ohio State. The team's first home shutout since 1980. It's been a lot of fans chanting to fire their coach. But here's what the AD said. Coach Fickell sees the potential in what this team can be. As do I, and he shares the same disappointment and frustration. Our student athletes continue to stand and fight with character and pride as they battle through this moment of adversity, and they deserve all of our support. We're seeing it. There's coaches on the hot seat. They're talking about it. They're addressing it. This is the time of year, Mike, when you start to see people getting fired left and right. Big Hub says, I understand, but don't understand. The Billy Napier firing. I mean, they started, 3-4? And their athletic director, Scott Strickland, said Monday he has one goal when it comes to hiring the next football coach. Find someone who can win championships. I mean, that's kind of... Obviously, that's what you want, but finding that person is very difficult, man. As you see, everybody's in a tough spot. If you're not at the top of your conference and that lasts for a couple of seasons, I mean you're out. You're definitely out. But, with Florida, he was 3-4 to start the season. They were 8-5 last season, 5-7 the season before that, and 6-7. So, I get it. Makes sense. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Who will be the next head coach? And how realistic is it that Tyson Summers could earn his way into being the next head coach for CSU. I mean, the roster is still the roster at this point. I have questions about Matt Mummy. Is he still around? I mean, who goes in all this? Mummy is a Jay Norvell guy. Was with him in Nevada. They have a strong history together. So I'm curious to see what his role looks like, as Kevin will talk to us. James Franklin's name is coming up. Obviously, former Penn State coach. Now, here's why it's coming up. Does it seem unrealistic? Yes. But Kevin noted in the Coloradoan, there's a fun theory some have thrown around on this one. So follow along. Franklin was Penn State's coach since 2014, quite successful, winning 70% of his games. But Penn State has been slapped with the can't win the big one tag, and Franklin's time finally ran out. Who is CSU's deputy director of athletics? Scott Sidwell. Where did he last work prior to CSU? Penn State. I don't know if that is even possible. Even Kevin notes that's not logical. Mike Gundy's name has popped up. Now, Mike Gundy's interesting, too, because he's 58 years old. I mean, he got a $15 million buyout. But he struggled to kind of adjust to the changing of the football stuff, like all the NIL thing. That's still real at CSU. I mean, the expectations won't be as daunting for NIL dollars, but you do want to get somebody who is buying into that. Not somebody who kind of ignores it and says, hey, we're going to build this thing. That could work like at UNC. I just don't see that working, even at CSU. I got more news here, too, Michael. Alex Taylor, who we've had on the program covering the Wyoming Cowboys, says Jay Johnson, who was the offensive coordinator, is still on the staff as an offensive analyst. So this is when you know you're in trouble as a program. When you start shuffling around, we talked about this with Jay Norvell, and he removed himself from play calling duties, and then we're going to go with Matt Mummy to call the plays in, you move quarterbacks around, all that stuff is not really good for, I guess, showcasing a healthy football program. And that's where I think Wyoming is at this point now. So Wyoming's got some interesting stuff coming up. I mean, if the Cowboys lose to CSU with an interim coach, and I get it, Michael was talking about sometimes you rally behind an interim coach. Maybe that happens. But if you do lose to CSU, that will be rough because it would obviously be the border war loss to an interim head coach. I mean, we're not even 2 years into this with Jay Sovell, and I'm hearing from a lot of Cowboys fans that they're kind of ready to move on. So, I mean, it hasn't been great for the Cowboys. You know, they lost to Air Force. Air Force, they slowed them down. I mean, Air Force didn't. There wasn't a lot of points in this game. What was it? It was 24-21. I mean, Air Force got up by 10. Wyoming came in, got the backdoor cover scored for those that participate, but Air Force still won. A couple of texts coming in. Faith, will CSU try the CU route and bring in a big-name NFL player turned college coach now? I don't know. I mean, they have a good football mind in Scott Sidwell. John Weber, we kind of know, is primarily the business side, and Sidwell is going to be more of the football guy. I mean, I'm seeing like John Gruden's name thrown around. I saw Mike Shanahan's name tossed around too. Do you try to go a route of let's bring in a big player name and hope that he can attract recruits and such? Or do you go with a coach that has done it at a fairly decent level, like a Mike Bobo, who was a coordinator? Wasn't Bobo the offensive coordinator for Georgia? And then, you know, obviously he's back. Jim McElwain was the offensive coordinator for Alabama, and that was successful. He coached 3 years for the Rams, and each year he just got better to the point where Florida wanted him. Or do you go with... Do you try to go with one of these fired coaches? Here's the list, and we'll go through it together here. A lot of these names are appealing, but how realistic are they? So the first one, Kevin notes, is Colin Klein, who is the offensive coordinator at Texas A&M. I mean, he's from Northern Colorado. He's 36 years old. He's a graduate of Loveland High School. He was a star quarterback at K-State. That's an interesting name. His name's starting to be floated around at Power 4 jobs. Jay Hill, the BYU defensive coordinator. Billy Napier is obviously on this list now. I mean, that name's been floated around. I just don't know. He was here, though. He was CSU's associate head coach and quarterbacks coach under Jim McElwain. So he has CSU ties. Isai Chris texting in, you know Tyson will take the interim coach always wins role to the Wyoming game. Maybe. That could be a terrible storm for Wyoming. I don't know. We'll assess that. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. Big Hub, I don't want anyone who is old or hasn't proven themselves in the last few years. And hell no to fired coaches. Look what happened with Addazio. Yeah, but Addazio was like, well, and I guess Billy Napier's kind of like that. Addazio was like a 500 coach at Boston College. And so that was why it was kind of odd. But then you thought, okay, can he be a 500 coach there and then take that to the Mountain West Conference and be above a 500 kind of guy? Just didn't work. There's a lot of pressure on this, guys. John Weber now, I mean, it is, the honeymoon phase is kind of over now. Weber stormed in and started doing all these great things, game day experience, making everything fun and awesome, making big changes, big decisions. But then, you know, he hired Ali Faroukmanesh. I believe he was the one that gave Nico Medved the contract extension. Am I wrong on that, or was that Joe Parker? Either way, on the surface, the hiring of Ali Faroukmanesh was a slam dunk, and he did it. That seemed to be what fans wanted him to do. So he won. So if it doesn't work out for Ali, the fans can't really freak out, because from what I saw, I don't think there was anybody who was mad at that hire. But this one's different, because whoever you bring in, there's going to be a list. There's going to be a list of fans that are not for that. Tim Skipper's name. How about him? Just got a text on that. Yeah, the interim coach for UCLA. He was at CSU in 2012. He was also under Jim McElwain. Do you want to go the McElwain route? It worked at CSU. McElwain obviously didn't. He coached for a long time after that. But it just didn't quite work out at Florida. So that's a name to look at. Matt Lubick. That's Kansas's co-offensive coordinator. That, obviously, Lubick, son of legendary CSU coach Sonny Lubick. Now, he's battled cancer the last couple of years, but then he did join the ranks of, he went back to Nevada, and then now he's at Kansas as the co-offensive coordinator. Yeah, make no mistake, Go Poke said, the biggest hire an AD will ever make is the football head coach. That typically defines the AD. 100% right. Sean Keeler's writing in the Denver Post. He just texted me, shared the story. I'll have to check it out. CSU Rams football doesn't need another Deion Sanders. It needs its own Nico Medved. You're not going to go with a splash, like a big, sexy name. Like, again, you keep seeing like John Gruden. His name's popping up. I don't know, man. I don't know what to do with that. Mike Gundy seems like a pipe dream. Franklin seems like a pipe dream. You're not... Only way Gundy would look at it is like, okay, I'm 58 years old. Do I want to jump back in to a really pressure-filled job? Because he probably will get offers. But then again, I don't know. If he's not rolling with the times on the NIL stuff... then I don't know that there is going to be a lot. Clint Kubiak, that's another name that came up. Texter here. Brady, it's Ram Joe from Florida. Not sure where you're at in the show right now. Just tuning, but here's my 2 cents. Tuning in on a replacement coach would be Clint Kubiak or Tim Skipper. Have a great day, brother. Shout out to Ram Joe, listening from Florida. You could listen to us anywhere, Michael. Where?
1310kfk.com.
You're our billboard. You are a producer slash billboard. Great work by you. Yeah, Clint Kubiak's name has come up quite a bit. That would be interesting, too. I saw Mike Shanahan's name come up.
Clint Kubiak's only been an offensive coordinator for like 2 years, though.
Yeah.
I think he's been with the Seahawks like just this year, and I think he was offensive coordinator for the Vikings for a year or something. Like he's mostly been an offensive assistant.
Yeah, he's the Seattle Seahawks offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I don't know. Just give me more of a resume.
How does an NFL guy though? I mean, do you want a guy that's been in the NFL? I mean, he was with Kansas in like 2015 or so. Offensive coordinator in the NFL for the Vikings, Saints, and now the Seahawks. He's never been a head coach. And is he more of an NFL trajectory kind of guy?
I think he needs to stay with the NFL. I think if you want to hire somebody from the college ranks.
I would go with somebody from the college ranks that's around the NIL world. Because I Bill Belichick comes into UNC and he brings in a lot of money with him, but that so far isn't working out. Now there's a lot of external factors going on with Belichick too. But
his hot girlfriend.
The tough part is bring an NFL guy in. Are they really hip to what's going on? Because that's a completely different world. The NFL, like, they don't have to worry about, coaches don't have to worry about the contracts. The coaches at college, it's getting a little easier because you're hiring managers and whatnot. But I would just be careful with that. Not sure I would go the route of an NFL guy at this stage.
If I'm CSU, I put a list together of offensive or defensive. Well, first of all, you have to decide, do I want an offensive team first or do I want a defensive team first? Then you go after potential offensive or defensive coordinators that you think can be good leaders and good for this program. That's what you have to do.
A lot of times you'll see this kind of like, the way we vote for presidents around here is you go from one extreme to the other. You know, you go George Bush, old school, and then next is Barack Obama, kind of brings in a completely different flash, all that stuff. And then, you know, we know what happened after that. You go one extreme, then very much extreme with President Donald Trump. You go with football coaches. What I've seen with CSU is they went offensive-minded, Mike Bobo, after McElwain, who's also offensive-minded, but you went Mike Bobo thinking, oh, we're going to air it out. It's going to be a very potent offense. And then after Bobo, you go the complete opposite. They went with Steve Adazio, who is a defensive-minded coach. We're going to run the football. And then after that didn't work, you went back to the kind of the Mike Bobo area, and you go with Jay Norvell. Strangely enough, Jay Norvell ended up being, his time at CSU will probably be more remembered for developing, recruiting good running backs and a good offensive line. And so we'll see. Do they keep going that route of, hey, we want to get another offensive guy here because that sells tickets. You're better off selling tickets that way.
You do make a really good point. I mean, you see NFL teams do that. You see them, well, this didn't work, so we're going to do the exact opposite.
Yep.
Well, don't worry about what just happened unless what just happened was an absolute mistake. Worry about what's going on now. There's plenty of good offensive coordinators and plenty of good defensive coordinators. You don't have to do the exact opposite. Just try to find the right guy for the culture, for NIL, just try to go to a Colorado guy. A lot of people want the Clint Kubiak because there's a Colorado connection. You don't have to do that.
Big Hub says, I wouldn't say he was defensive minded. Okay, maybe, yeah, because he was an O-line guy. All right, maybe I'm a little wrong there, but I thought Steve Adazi was more of that, hey, let's get a good defense and let's ground and pound kind of deal. Texter here from the 970, it's got to be someone who is excited about, and works within the new reality of college football. That's key. They did that with their athletic director. Now, keep in mind, Joe Parker, with all these hires, with Adazio, with Bobo, with, well, the Bobo extension was Joe Parker, Adazio was his, Jay Norvell was his. John Weber is going to come at this doing the Sean Payton thing. He's not going to say it, but it's not my hump. I can't base everything that happened before and failed before. I can't use that and make my hiring decisions that way. 25 minutes after the hour, Kevin Lytle will join us from the Colorado, and here at the bottom of the hour, I've got tons of questions. If you guys have questions for Kevin, shoot us a text at 888-530-0043. That is the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We'll take a quick break. Don't miss it. Kevin Lytle coming up in about 5 minutes or so. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
Hear college football, the NFL, and the Broncos on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
All right, welcome back in. I want to shout out to On the Rocks Liquor. The drink of the week is Juneshine Grapefruit Splash Hard Kombucha, a unique blend of grapefruit and kombucha. Kombucha, is that how you say it? Try your four-pack today. Starting this Friday at On the Rocks Liquor, they'll be running specials on all your Halloween party supplies with deals on Buzz Balls, Fireball, Skelly Tequila. Stop by and see what deals are creeping around this weekend at On the Rocks Liquor. Halloween is getting close, Mike. You big Halloween guy?
Not really.
I like Halloween. I like all the decorations and fall, and I say I like scary. I kind of like to watch the old cheese ball scary movies from like the 80s. I'm not into the freaky stuff though. Can't do that. Yeah.
Did you ever see Donovan's Brain?
No. Sounds like something you would be into though.
It kind of is science fiction.
12:32 the time. Let's take a quick break. Kevin Lytle joining me next from the Coloradoan. What did he learn at the press conference that was held about an hour ago? Tyson Summers being introduced as the interim head coach for the Colorado State Rams. We'll get to that coming up next.
Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Holmes.
First 37 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, joining me now on the First Advantage Hotline, Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And normally we catch up with Kevin on Thursdays. We've also got Rams Weekly Thursday at 2 o'clock, but figured given the news that Kevin put out there over the weekend about Jay Norvell being fired from Colorado State. Kevin, Tyson Summers, the interim head coach for CSU, just spoke to you guys moments ago, as well as John Weber. What obviously, we'll get into a lot of the details on all this, but what kind of stood out in that press conference?
Yeah, it's interesting, you know. It's tough, all that. I think it was a decision that I think weighed on John Weber pretty heavily. I think he didn't take lightly. You know, I think a lot of that comes from, you know, the person Jay Norvell is. Makes it a lot harder to, you know, fire someone that you generally like. But I think obviously results you know, were the deciding factor. And, you know, a thing that we've discussed over and over, basically, is what Weber said of it felt like, you know, they thought progress was made last year, and then it just stalled and felt they had to make a move. I think no doubt the timeline of move into the Pac-12 is part of it. So obviously just a big decision and a big thing to do mid-season. You know, that's kind of become the trend in college football, but it hasn't happened at CSU in a long time.
Yeah, yeah, it's you know, Kevin, we've got questions pouring in. Big Hub says, hey, was Jay Norvell fired because of that loss, or was it because this was just the right time to do it?
Yeah, I don't think the Hawaii game itself was a you know, a make or break or, you know, a defining game. It ends up being the last, and so you always, you know, kind of look at that. But I think given the timing of this, you know, that seems pretty clear that they, you know, they being the administration, had been moving or leaning in this direction and finally got to, you know, the breaking point, if you will, of like, well, it's, you know, we know we're not going to do this long term, so let's move now and try and, you know, kickstart things moving forward. So no, I don't think Hawaii itself, you know, was a deciding factor, rather more, you know, maybe just a, you know, final straw type element.
Well, Kevin, and I've heard this, there's rumors already swirling all over the place that maybe a decision was going to be made after the Fresno State game, but then you win that way and that maybe delayed the inevitable a bit. Do you think that they were close before the Fresno State game?
Like I said, I think given the timing, I mean, this isn't a conversation. This isn't a one-night conversation. You know, CSU didn't lose to Hawaii and the, you know, the leadership huddled up and said, oh, golly, like, what do we think? I think it's one that's been going on for a long time. Obviously, everyone was pretty vocal that they thought last year, you know, was supposed to be kind of the floor, and they thought they had a good team this year. So when non-conference went the way it did, that increased, you know, those conversations. The start of conference play with the San Diego State game increased it. So yeah, I think it's probably fair to say this has been going on. Maybe Fresno State stalled it a little bit, but I think you also get to the point, if you've decided you're going to move on, you know, why keep allowing a result to dictate when you do it? Because, you know, certainly if he had coached this week and beat Wyoming, you know, I think it's fair to say they wouldn't have fired him immediately after beating Wyoming. So I think if you've decided that, you have the loss on homecoming, there's no real clean break time, but, you know, you can understand why that would be how they chose it.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado. And Kevin, Tyson Summers will take over. Interesting. Yes. Jay just brought him in to be the defensive coordinator, talked very highly of him, and then now he's going to assume his role for at least the rest of the season. My brain was, I think a lot of Jay Norvell, I think a lot of Matt Mummy too. I just saw your tweet about Grant Chestnut taking over as the offensive coordinator. What is Matt Mummy's role with this team right now?
Yeah, it's a fascinating move that I guess everything's on the table right now, but I wouldn't say I necessarily expected it. But yeah, Matt Mummy will remain as pass game coordinator. Bill Best still as run game coordinator. But yeah, he's no longer calling plays like he was for, what was it now, the last three games. So obviously I'm sure that's a tough move for him. But yeah, a change to Chestnut, who has a lot of offensive coordinator experience in his past, but it's, you know, a potentially pretty significant change.
What does this do for a lot of the staff members, not necessarily on the coaching staff, Kevin, but Jay brought in a bunch of guys to manage football operations, all that kind of thing, too. What does that do to some of those guys?
Yeah, I think I don't know. I think a lot of people don't know right now. You know, Weber said, summarizing basically, said we're going to look at it, you know, every single inch of this program and how we need to form it. You know, it's not just hiring a head coach, it's making sure the structure is how they want it, and it'll affect a lot of those things. So, you know, the, you know, GM role, some of those you know, off field recruiting positions. You know, I think a lot of that is still going to exist. I mean, they didn't hire a GM in the thought that, you know, 6 months later they'd shrink the staff size back down. But for the individuals in those positions, what does it mean? I think truly no one knows right now. I don't think anyone is, you know, trying to hide it or anything. It's just there's so much uncertainty that they just don't know.
Give me a percentage chance that Tyson Summers could could coach his way into a head coaching job for CSU?
I mean, small, probably less than 10, I would think.
Yeah, and that just interesting. You always wonder that when you get into the situation. You put together a list of guys, some realistic and some, as you even noted, unrealistic. But I did think, you know, obviously, Tim Skipper is an interesting name, the UCLA interim coach. Matt Lubick, you threw out there too. Clint Kubiak. And then you kind of threw some of the Hail Marys, James Franklin, and you noted in your story that Scott Sidwell was there at Penn State during a good portion of James Franklin's time there. Although the odds of him coming here would be still low, but that is fascinating.
It's one of those that's kind of fun, you know. You maybe have a beverage or two, start thinking your way through. Well, you know, they have a connection. Franklin's getting a fat buyout from Penn State, so, you know, he could come and, you know, work on the quote-unquote cheap compared to what he was at Penn State, and, you know, in a less pressure environment, you know, maybe it'll work out. That's not happening. I mean, James Franklin's on game day or whatever this weekend saying he's going to win a national championship elsewhere, which, no offense to CSU, but that doesn't sound like a guy who's intending to go take a job in the new Pac-12. That's a guy who is going to have some pretty good P4 offers. So it's kind of, you know, one of those fun theories to kind of float around, but like I said, not actually realistic.
Well, Mike Gundy's name is what kind of one of those fun theories too. The only reason I entertained it a little bit, Kevin, is because he's 58 years old. Maybe he's done with the high pressure. Not to say there won't be pressure at CSU, but there's just different sets of pressures at different conferences. But that's also a name I look at. And the other thing is, too, I don't know how many schools are lining up to interview him. He's kind of expressed that he's not that hip with what's going on in the NIL world and all the new stuff going on in college sports.
Yeah, I mean, to me, he's kind of out right away because, yeah, he's been pretty vocal of he doesn't like the portal and pay-to-play era. You have to play the game, so I just don't see how you could entertain someone that's been pretty publicly against that. Not to mention, he's pretty heavily an Oklahoma guy and has been there pretty much his whole career, and, you know, it's a little hard to see him venturing, you know, into the West. But I think more to the point is he's struggled in this era, and so, you know, why would you bring someone in that's been kind of against it?
Who kind of stands out? I mean, you mentioned Tony Alford, too. His name always comes up, but he just has not been able to crack back in to Colorado State. But, you know, obviously his history with the Rams, that's a fan favorite, at least, every time this comes up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one's probably unlikely for a variety of reasons. You know, I feel like if CSU had wanted to go that direction, they would have previously. Now, it is a different administration than previous hires. Colin Klein jumps out to me, a Loveland kid, a Heisman candidate as a player at Kansas State. He's had a really good young career as an OC. He's a Texas A&M OC. Right now, I believe his parents still live in Loveland. So that's one. He's considered a rising star. I've heard, and I certainly feel like he'll probably be on the list that CSU is looking at. But he's also going to be on other people's lists as well. So, that could be a tricky one, but I think he's in the mix. You know, Kubiak is obviously a name in Colorado. Flint looks like he's on more the NFL path than the college path, but, you know, he's a CSU alum, and you never know, he maybe would want to come back and right that ship. But some interesting names. I also wonder at the FCS level. You know, I didn't include Vegan or Polisak from Montana State or North Dakota State, partially because they both have Wyoming ties, and I just wonder about the PR side of that. But guys that have won at the FCS level, I definitely find intriguing.
Great list you put together. Very interesting. Available at coloradoan.com. Kevin, last one, man. I know this is the tough part of the job. We talk about sports. It's fun. It's like video games to us. But then there are real people that get fired. And I know they make a lot of money to do this, but I think you noted it. Families are affected. A lot of jobs, not just the big million-dollar jobs, but a lot of jobs are affected when this happens.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of, like you say, a lot of jobs, you know, a lot of ones that are a lot lower paying than, you know, what a head coach is getting. And then, families, like a lot of these staff members that, you know, I think it's fair to say probably won't be back at CSU next year. They have kids, and, you know, those kids have to, you know, move somewhere else now and change schools, and that's tough. It just impacts a lot of people, and yeah, just don't want to lose the humanity involved here, even though, you know, it is a business. They all know that when they get in the job. I think it probably is a decision CSU had to make, but that doesn't make it not difficult for some of those families. So, yeah, I kind of always keep them in my mind at times like this because it is hard. And now, especially at the midseason, and you look at a lot of these staff members and their families, they're going to coach, you know, kind of business as usual, while knowing that, you know, more than likely they're moving somewhere.
Yeah, no, more than likely an overhaul is coming. Kevin, always appreciate you, my man. We'll look forward to diving into all this on Thursday with your segment on the whole show, and then, of course, Rams Weekly coming up at 2 on Thursday. So we'll catch up with you then, my friend.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
All right. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. And Michael, we'll take a short break here. I'll wrap up hour number two. More reaction from that and what it looks like for CSU going forward. It's the whole show powered by Chevron.
One is a trickster. One is a treat. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Ram fans. This is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Breaking news on this Monday. It's not like we have anything else to talk about. Christian Brown and the Nuggets have agreed to a 5-year, $125 million extension. Per Shams, DNVR Nuggets just tweeted this out moments ago. So we're going to rehash this. Let's hash this. Not rehash it. Let's hash it. Good idea? Does it feel like maybe a Michael Porter Jr. situation? Not the same position, but same kind of contract. We'll talk. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.